Chapter 18. The Law of God. After leaving Rephidim, the Israelites came to the desert of Sinai. There they set up their camp at the foot of Mount Sinai, and Moses went up the mountain to meet with God. The Lord called to Moses from the mountain and told him to say to the Israelites, Jacob's descendants, "You saw what I, the Lord, did to the Egyptians, and how I carried you as an eagle carries her young on her wings, and brought you here to me, the Lord. Now, if you will obey me and keep my covenant, you will be my own people. The whole earth is mine, but you will be my chosen people, a people dedicated to me alone, and you will serve me as priests." So Moses went down and called the leaders of the people together, and told them everything that the Lord had commanded him. Then all the people answered together, "We will do everything that the Lord has said." And Moses reported this to the Lord. Exodus 19, verse 2 to 8. At Sinai, the Israelites entered into a sacred covenant with God. They promised to accept him as their ruler. In this way, the Israelites came under God's divine control as his special people. The Lord said to Moses, "I will come to you in a thick cloud, so that the people will hear me speaking with you, and will believe you from now on." Exodus 19, verse 9. When the Israelites had problems during their travels, they blamed Moses and Aaron. The people accused their leaders of bringing them from Egypt to destroy them. God decided to honor Moses before the Israelites, so that they would trust Moses' instructions. God wanted the Israelites to understand that he had put his Holy Spirit on Moses. Preparing for God's visit. The Lord told Moses exactly how the Israelites were to get ready for God to draw near to them. The people were to be ready to hear God's law spoken, not by angels, but by the Lord himself. The Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people and tell them to spend today and tomorrow purifying themselves for worship. They must wash their clothes and be ready the day after tomorrow. On that day, I will come down on Mount Sinai, where all the people can see me." Exodus 19, verse 10-11. The Israelites were to spend the next few days preparing themselves to stand before God. They were to rest from work and the cares of life, and were to think about spiritual things. They were to wash their clothes. God is just as particular today as he was then. He is a God of order. He requires his people, who now live on the earth, to form habits of strict cleanliness. They must have clean bodies and clothing when they worship God. God is not pleased with lack of reverence for him. He will not accept the service of worshipers who are dirty. People who are dirty when they worship God insult their Maker. The Creator of the heavens and of the earth considers cleanliness so important that he said to the Israelites, "They must wash their clothes." Exodus 19, verse 10. God said to Moses, "Mark a boundary around the mountain that the people must not cross, and tell them not to go up the mountain or even get near it. If anyone sets foot on the mountain, he is to be put to death. He must either be stoned or shot with arrows without anyone touching him." This applies to both men and animals. They must be put to death. But when the trumpet is blown, then the people are to go up to the mountain. Exodus 19, verse 12-13. This command was given to impress the minds of the rebellious Israelites with a deep reverence for God. God gave the laws and has the right to demand that the laws be obeyed. God shows his glorious majesty. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning. A thick cloud appeared on the mountain, and a very loud trumpet blast was heard. All the people in the camp trembled with fear. Moses led them out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. All of Sinai was covered with smoke, because the Lord had come down on it in fire. The smoke went up like the smoke of a furnace, and all the people trembled violently. Exodus 19, verse 16 to 18. The divine majesty himself came down in a cloud with a glorious group of angels. The angels appeared as flames of fire. The sound of the trumpet became louder and louder. Moses spoke, and God answered him with thunder. The Lord came down on the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. Moses went up, and the Lord said to him, "Go down and warn the people not to cross the boundary to come and look at me. If they do, many of them will die. Even the priests who come near me must purify themselves, or I will punish them." Exodus 19, verse 19 to 22. God gave his law at Sinai, along with great evidence of his power, so that the Israelites might know that he is the only true and living God. Moses was not permitted to enter the cloud of glory. Moses could only enter the thick darkness that surrounded the cloud of glory. There Moses stood between the people and the Lord. God's law given. After God had shown his power, he told the people who he was. "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, where you were slaves." Exodus 20, verse 2. The God who had shown his power to the Egyptians now spoke his law. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, not his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Exodus 20, verse 3 to 17. The first and second commandments spoken by Jehovah forbid the worship of idols. Idol worship leads people deep into sin and rebellion. Sometimes idol worship results in the offering of human sacrifices. God wants to guard against the smallest beginning of such wickedness. The first four commandments tell us of our duty to God. The fourth commandment is special because the commandment connects the great God with his people. The Sabbath day was given to benefit everyone and to honor God. The last six commandments outline the duty of people to each other. All who keep the Sabbath show that they worship the living God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. The Sabbath is a sign between God and his people for as long as God has a people upon earth to serve him. When the people heard the thunder and the trumpet blast, and saw the lightning and the smoking mountain, they trembled with fear and stood a long way off. They said to Moses, "If you speak to us, we will listen. But we are afraid that if God speaks to us, we will die." Moses replied, "Don't be afraid. God has only come to test you and make you keep on obeying him, so that you will not sin." But the people continued to stand a long way off, and only Moses went near the dark cloud where God was. The Lord commanded Moses to tell the Israelites, "You have seen how I, the Lord, have spoken to you from heaven." Exodus 20, verse 18 to 22. The people were terrified by the glorious presence of God at Sinai, the violent movement of the earth caused by his presence, and the fearful thunderings and lightnings. They felt a deep reverence for God, but they drew back from his sacred presence. They were afraid of his great glory. The danger of idol worship. God wanted so much to protect the Israelites from idol worship that he said to them, "Do not make for yourselves gods of silver or gold to be worshipped in addition to me." Exodus 20, verse 23. The Israelites were in danger of following the example of the Egyptians and making images that represented God. God said to Moses, "I will send an angel ahead of you to protect you as you travel and to bring you to the place which I have prepared. Pay attention to him and obey him, and do everything I command. I will fight against all your enemies. My angel will go ahead of you and take you into the land of the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will destroy them." Exodus 23, verse 20 to 23. The angel who went before Israel was the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not bow down to their gods or worship them, and do not adopt their religious practices. Destroy their gods and break down their sacred stone pillars. If you worship me, the Lord your God, I will bless you with food and water and take away all your sicknesses. Exodus 23, verse 24, 25. God wanted his people to understand that they should worship him alone. When the Israelites would fight and overcome the idol-worshipping nations around them, they were not to save any of their idols. Every idol was to be destroyed. Many of these idols were beautifully made and of great value. The beauty of these idols might tempt the people to worship idols. The Israelites were used to seeing many idols in Egypt. The Lord wanted his people to know that these nations had become very wicked because of their idol worship. God would use the Israelites to punish the wicked nations and destroy their idols. God said, "I will make the people who oppose you afraid of me. I will bring confusion among the people against whom you fight, and I will make all your enemies turn and run from you. I will throw your enemies into panic. I will drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites as you advance. I will not drive them out within a year's time. If I did, the land would become deserted and the wild animals would be too many for you. Instead, I will drive them out little by little until there are enough of you to take possession of the land. I will make the borders of your land extend from the Gulf of Aqaba to the Euphrates River and from the Mediterranean Sea to the desert. I will give you power over the inhabitants of the land, and you will drive them out as you advance. Do not make any agreement with them or with their gods. Do not let those people live in your country. If you do, they will make you sin against me. If you worship their gods, it will be a fatal trap for you. Exodus 23, verse 27 to 33, TEV. God made these promises to his people on condition of their obedience. If the Israelites would serve the Lord fully, God would do great things for them. After Moses had received the laws and the rules from the Lord, he wrote them down for the people. Moses also wrote down the things that God had promised to do if the Israelites would obey him. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Come up the mountain to me, you and Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 of the leaders of Israel. And while you are still some distance away, bow down in worship. You alone and none of the others are to come near me. The people are not even to come up the mountain." Moses went and told the people all the Lord's commands and all the ordinances, and all the people answered together, "We will do everything that the Lord has said." Exodus 24, verse 1 to 3. Moses did not write the Ten Commandments. God himself wrote the Ten Commandments. But Moses wrote down the other rules that God wanted the Israelites to follow. Moses also wrote down the promises God made to the Israelites on condition that they would obey him. Then Moses read to the people what he had written. The people promised to obey all the words that God had given Moses to write. Moses then wrote their solemn promise in a book and made a sacrifice unto God for the people. Then took the book of the covenant in which the Lord's commands were written and read it aloud to the people. They said, "We will obey the Lord and do everything that he has commanded." Then Moses took the blood in the bowls and threw the blood on the people. He said, "This is the blood that seals the covenant which the Lord made with you when he gave all these commands." Exodus 24, verse 7, 8. The Israelites repeated their solemn promise to the Lord to do all that God had said and to obey him. God's eternal law. The law of God existed before God created people. The angels were ruled by the law of God. Satan became a sinner by breaking the basic rules of God's government. After Adam and Eve were created, God gave them his law. God's law was not written out at that time, but God told Adam and Eve what his laws were. The Sabbath of the fourth commandment was begun in Eden. As soon as God had made the world and created people, he made the Sabbath for them. After Adam's sin, the law was not changed. Nothing was taken away from the law of God. The principles of the Ten Commandments existed before sin started. These principles were perfect to guide the lives of holy beings. After Adam sinned, the principles were not changed. But after sin, additional laws were given to help people who now lived in a sinful situation. The serpent in Eden told Eve that death would not be the result of disobeying God. But when God told people to sacrifice animals, which meant putting them to death, the people began to realize that death did result from not obeying God. God's law had been broken, so now Christ must die as our sacrifice. Christ's death made it possible for people to escape the death penalty. But God could still protect the sacred nature of his law. Offering animals as a sacrifice made people humbly aware of their sinful condition. This kind of sacrifice was to lead them to repent and to help them learn to trust in God alone. Forgiveness would come through the promised Redeemer, Jesus. If the law of God had not been disobeyed, there never would have been death, and no additional laws would have been needed to meet people's sinful condition. Adam taught his descendants the law of God. Then, Adam's descendants taught the law of God to their children. The faithful people of each generation passed on the law to the next generation. Continually disobeying God's law made the flood necessary. But Noah and his family obeyed the law. They were saved in the ark by a miracle of God. Noah taught his descendants the Ten Commandments. Ever since Adam's time, the Lord has had a people who have obeyed his law. God has written his law in man's heart. God said, "Abraham obeyed me and kept all my laws and commands." Genesis 26, verse 5. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "I am the Almighty God. Obey me and always do what is right. I will make my covenant with you and give you many descendants. I will keep my promise to you and to your descendants in future generations as an everlasting covenant. I will be your God and the God of your descendants." Genesis 17, verse 1, 2, 7. God then commanded Abraham and his descendants to be circumcised. Circumcision, which cuts a circle in the flesh, was a sign that God had separated Abraham's descendants from all other nations. Abraham's descendants were to be God's special people. By using the sign of circumcision, Abraham's descendants promised the Lord that they would not marry people of other nations. God's people knew, if they do married people who worshipped idols, they would lose their love for God and his holy law. They would become like the idol-worshipping nations around them. The Israelites solemnly agreed to fulfill their part of the conditions of the agreement God made with Abraham. They promised to follow the custom of circumcision, to be separate from all nations, and to be perfect. If Abraham's descendants had kept separate from other nations, they would not have been led into idol worship. Keeping separate from other nations would have kept them from the great temptation to join in the sinful acts of other people and to rebel against God. By associating with the nations around them, Abraham's descendants lost much of their special, holy character. The Lord punished Abraham's descendants by bringing a famine and great hunger upon their land. This forced them to go to Egypt to save their lives. But God did not forget them and leave them on their own while they were in Egypt. God remembered his covenant and promises to Abraham. God allowed the people to become slaves to the Egyptians so they might think of God and follow him again. God was doing what he could to lead his people to accept his righteous and merciful government and to obey his laws. Only a few families of Israelites went into Egypt. But in Egypt, they became a large number of people. Some Israelite parents carefully taught their children God's law. But many Israelites saw so much idol worship that they had confused ideas about God's law. In their sorrow, those who loved and worshiped God prayed to him to save them from Egyptian slavery so they might be free to serve him. God heard the Israelites' prayers and sent Moses to deliver them. After the Israelites left Egypt and crossed the Red Sea miraculously, God tested them to see if they would trust him. But they failed the tests. The Israelites complained against God because of the difficulties they had in their travels. They said they wanted to return to Egypt. God writes the Ten Commandments on stone. God wanted the Israelites to keep the Israelites from having any excuse for disobeying him. So he came down upon Mount Sinai to give his law. God was clothed with glory and surrounded by his angels. God revealed his law of Ten Commandments in a wonderful and solemn way. God did not trust the angels or anyone else to present his holy law. God himself spoke his law in a voice so clear that all the people could hear. God did not trust the people to remember his law. God knew that the people forgot his words easily. So he wrote the Ten Commandments with his own holy finger upon tablets of stone. In that way, God removed any possibility that the people would confuse his holy laws with human teachings and practices. Then the Lord did more for his people who were so easily led into wrong. God gave his people the Ten Commandments. God also gave judgments and laws that Moses wrote down for the people. These careful directions were given both to protect the sacredness of the Ten Commandments and to lead the people to obey the moral law that God had written on stone. God's law had been given to Adam after his sin. The law had been kept by Noah and obeyed by Abraham. If people had obeyed this law, circumcision would not have been necessary. If the people had kept the covenant, of which circumcision was a sign, they would never have worshipped idols, nor have needed to go down into Egypt. God would not have needed to speak his law from Sinai, nor write his law upon tablets of stone. Also, there would have been no need to protect the law by giving additional judgments and laws to Moses. The judgments and laws. Moses wrote in a book the judgments and laws that God spoke to him while he was on Mount Sinai. If the people of God had obeyed the principles of the Ten Commandments, there would have been no need for these added rules given to Moses. The new rules showed the people their duty to God, to one another, and to strangers. These rules explained the principles of the Ten Commandments in more detail and made the commandments easier to understand so the people need not sin. The Lord gave Moses special instruction about the law of sacrifices of animals. These sacrifices were to end at the death of Christ. They were to point the Israelites to Christ, who was to be offered as a lamb without spot or imperfection. The Lord first gave the system of sacrifices to Adam after Adam sinned. Adam taught his descendants to offer sacrifices. But the system of sacrifices became mixed with evil practices before the flood. The people who separated themselves from God's followers after the flood and built the Tower of Babel replaced the system of sacrifices with evil practices. They sacrificed animals to idols. The people believed they were pleasing their idols by offering a large number of sacrifices to them. They did not sacrifice animals to show their faith in Jesus. The fears of these idol worshippers led them into wrong practices. People were taught that if they made more expensive sacrifices, the idols would be pleased. They also were taught that the greater their gifts to the idols, the greater would be the blessings and riches to their nation. So they offered human beings as sacrifices to their silly idols. The idol-worshipping nations had laws that were very cruel. These laws were made by people whose hearts were not softened by God's grace. The people who were in power often would not punish people for terrible crimes, but sometimes gave very cruel punishments for small mistakes. Moses was thinking of these nations when he said to Israel, "I have taught you all the laws as the Lord my God told me to do. Obey them in the land that you are about to invade and occupy. Obey them faithfully, and this will show the people of other nations how wise you are. When they hear of all these laws, they will say, 'What wisdom and understanding this great nation has!' No other nation, no matter how great, has a God who is so near when they need him as the Lord our God is to us. He answers us whenever we call for help. No other nation, no matter how great, has laws so just as those that I have taught you today." Deuteronomy 4, verse 5 to 8.